Bring Christian greetings this morning. Tuesday, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord again today. Appreciate that last song for the beauty of the earth. You know, we have so many blessings, so many things to be thankful for. As I read a story here a week or so ago, and that story's been kind of going through my mind and made me, it's probably what led me to where what I'm talking about here this morning. And that story largely was water was the issue in that article. And you know, we've been enjoying green grass, plenty of rain till just recently. Those of us that live on the here on the east side of Seymour we missed that last rain that the ones on the west side got. But this past Friday, I spent part of the day on floating on a river, nice, cool river, all just water, just abundant amount of water, and it was looked clear, spring-fed water, cold water. And you know, as clean and as clear as it looked, and as thirsty as we got sometimes before we were able to get to water, I still didn't see anybody voluntarily drinking from that water. There's a verse in Jeremiah 17, verses I'm going to read 5 through 8. He gives a comparison here. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and he shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." You know, we heard this morning in our devotional the difference, the gospel message is the same regardless who hears it, but the way it's received makes a difference. It to the one that rejects it, it brings death, the sentence of death. To the one who receives it, it's hope, it's life, everlasting. We see the comparison here of the man that's trusting in self compared to the man that trusteth in the Lord. You know, water is very important to us. And we're starting to see the effects just right around us here of the shortage of water. And it's still very green for considering that we're in the latter half of July. But I believe these verses give us a picture of the different focus of the unbeliever versus the righteous man. And as we look around us, you know, the man that trusteth in himself, he's never content. He can never quite find fulfillment. It's elusive. It's always around the corner. He's on a quest that he'll never reach, and that is happiness. The more he has, the more he wants. He's not at peace with his neighbors or himself. He is never content. On the other side, we have the man that has his trust in the Lord, and that's as a tree that's planted by the waters. He doesn't let circumstances take away his peace. During the drought, you know, when things are all dry around us, he's still praising the Lord. When it seems that everyone and everything is against him, he's still deriving his strength from the stream, from that living stream. And I don't know how it affects everyone else, but I know for me, if I go outside, it's almost 100 degrees, it's crackly and dry. It tends to depress me a little bit or discourage me. You know, I wish so bad it would rain. Things would turn green. It would cool off. And if you're farming or gardening, that's especially affects you. It's natural. You know, we can water our gardens. We can water, irrigate, but there's nothing that will equal that rain that comes from above, the natural. But you know, we are so blessed. We can go to the tap. How far do we have to go to the tap to get water? Good, clean, clear, cool water. We can go to the freezer. We get some ice and we stick it in the water. You know, technology has went far enough that we can even, they have a cup that you stick ice in and you can keep replenishing the water, and you probably have water there, cold water all day long. We can go outside, we turn on the hydrant, and we give our animals water. Good, clean water. We can drink it. Well, the story I read the other day was about a lady in Kilifia County, Kenya. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. But this lady's name is Kunsi. That's the way I'll pronounce it anyway. She lives in an area where there's an estimated 319 people that have no access to safe drinking water. Twice a day, she leaves her little mud, a hut made of mud, sticks, and stones, and walks with others from the village to the nearest place where she can get water. She told a reporter, she said, "My legs are sore, my back is aching, I hurt, I'm always in pain." You know, I had to think, for us, water is just a tap away. It's right here. For Kansi, getting access to life's most basic need is anything but easy. She's been going after water for almost 40 years. Since she was 7 years old, she walks about 13 miles a day just to get water. Two trips a day. That equals up to 4,500 miles a year. And if you figure that in 40 years, you're getting close to 200,000 miles of walking just to get water. And that's not just walking 13 miles a day. That's walking half of that distance with 40 pounds on her head. And some of those that are walking are carrying a child strapped on their side, 40 pounds on their head, and putting those kind of miles on, just miles for water. That doesn't include everything else there, all their other needs they have to meet. The sad part is that for all that work, when her water source, the picture of it is a murky, dirty-looking pond, I would call it. I don't know what they call it there. A pool of water, polluted by animals. All that work, all those miles for dirty water. It's estimated that 2,000 children die each day from water-related diseases there. There's a group there called, going by the name of World Vision, that is putting in cisterns. They're drilling wells to help meet these needs. And they were drilling a well to help that was going to make it a lot easier for this lady to get her water. And it showed. They showed there as they were drilling and they hit water, the water came shooting up, and the rejoicing, the joy, the shouts of joy that water brought. Going over and reaching in, scooping up a cupful of that muddy water. Sitting down, washing their feet and their legs in that muddy water. But you know, it wasn't going to stay that way. It was going to clear up with time. You know how it is when you drill a well. For the first while, it's muddy, it's dirty. The water will clear up. You know, we're used to fresh water. Do we really think about it? To them, it was like gold. Now, the Old Testament, the laver spoke of preparation for service and worship in the holy place. And I think that's what Paul is referring to in Ephesians 5. Verse 25 there to 27, they're very familiar verses. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." In Exodus 38:8, we see that the laver was made of mirrors. It was lined with mirrors, represented a mirror. They could see themselves when they washed. Proverbs 27:19 says, "As in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man." In the mirror of God's word, we can see ourselves. We see himself. We see the one who gave himself for us. And we realize how undone, how unrighteous our own goodness is. James says, "If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." You know, water gives life. Water cleanses. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. John 15:3. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Psalm 119:9. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. As we look into the Word, we see ourselves. We have a choice. We can choose to ignore what we see. We can make excuses for ourselves. You know, it's because of the way we've been treated, and the list goes. Or we can take heed. We can wash and become more like Him. We reflect Him. We're changed. If we're drawing from the source that never runs dry, you know, the leaf doesn't wither, the draught with the draught around it. You know, the child of God is not contaminated with impurities around them because they're connected to the source of life-giving water, pure water. You know, when Jesus met that woman at the well, He told her that, you know, if you would have just asked me, I would have given you water that, to where you'll never thirst again. And it made me think of there's people today that are investing millions of dollars into, they call it eternal life or immortality. They want to live forever. They want to not age. And it's just amazing the amount people will spend, the amount they're throwing into this, to especially some of the founders of some pretty major companies that we know. They're getting older, and they're throwing millions, billions into investing, trying to find a way to live eternally. You know, it's there. Jesus said, I'll give you water. I'll give you the water of life that you'll never thirst again, eternal life. But they're focusing in the wrong place. They're going in the wrong direction. They may somehow figure out a way to live longer. I don't know. But I think that's in God's hands. That's not in theirs. But how much more good would those funds do if they would be putting them towards helping people meet the needs of mankind, towards reaching out, spreading the gospel? But you know, even in our area, we're blessed with springs, we're blessed with good water. But even with all the good water we have, we still have to test for contaminants. But you know, when we go to the Word, in true humility, I believe we can have faith. We can have confidence. I know that absolute, that it's true, it's real, it's there, it's pure, and we don't have to worry about contamination. If we go there open and seeking, we can be sure that we can drink from the fountain of life, from the well that will never run dry. We can have our roots down into that stream that will keep the leaves alive regardless of what we're facing around us. Again, I'd like to, in closing here, quote 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.